come going here. All right, welcome you guys. Good to see everybody again. We are on Amos chapter 2, and we're about ready to start verse 10. And remember, we are now zeroing in on Israel and talking about Israel's transgressions in the first part of this section. And now we're in the section in which Yahweh contrasts his own behavior and his own faithfulness to Israel with their unfaithfulness. And so in verse 9, remember, he starts out, you can remember, you can see that Ve'anoki and I, see that's in contrast to how Israel was behaving. So he destroyed the Amorite, even though they were mighty. That's what verse 9 is about. And, you know, kind of destroyed them completely. And now in verse 10, notice this one also starts out with the Ve'anoki. All right. So Ve'anoki, he'aleti etkem me'eretz Mitzrayim va'olek etkem ba'midbar arba'im shana lareshet et eretz ha'emori. So, and I brought up, what's the root of he'aleti? Yep, Allah. Allah, it's a hifil form. Allah in the call means to go up. So notice in the hifil, it becomes transitive. And I brought up. That's the verb that very often common when you offer up an offering. Okay? So, and I brought you up from the land of Egypt. Va'olek. Notice that that is from the root halak. It's a hifil, vav consecutive. It looks like a first yud verb. It's behaving like a first yud verb. All right, so the pointing is unusual. And actually the Masoretes, if you look out at the left margin, have a little notation that the form occurs evidently four times in the Bible. See that little 10 with the dalet? And then if you look under the first apparatus at 10 where it says MM, that's Masorah Magna, there's a book by Weil, W-E-I-L, which now if you go to number 817 will tell you the four places where that form occurs. I'm just telling you that so you can see how the apparatuses work. So the left margin is usually kind of Aramaic, abbreviated Aramaic, in which the Masoretes keep certain statistics. So whenever you see one of those circles above a word, go to the left and you will see the corresponding note to it. And if there's a 10 there, that will or a number there, that will direct you to the middle apparatus. And that is keyed to a reference book in the library, that we have in the library, actually. It's very accessible. It's just down in the reserve section. All right. So notice that halak means to walk. This is a hifil form. And I made you walk, or probably better, not make you in the sense of force you, but I led you by midbar in the desert, arba'im shana, for 40 years. Notice how year is singular. So that's very common with words like year and man or something like that, that when you have the get over the number 10, you have multiples, then it's going to be singular. So it's just a kind of a Hebrew style issue, okay? All right, so, and I led you in the desert for 40 years, extent of time there. Notice how the nouns are functioning. La reshet. Notice that that's a lamed plus what kind of form? As soon as you see something like this. Infinitive construct, and what kind of construct, what kind of root makes the, looks like a segulate noun? First yud root, yashav would be shevet, yarash, reshet. So this is from yarash, a call infinitive, to inherit. Notice its purpose. I led you in the desert for 40 years. Notice that the subject is Israel. It's implied. So it's in order to inherit, or better English, so that you might inherit the land of the Amorites. Okay? Any questions about verse 10? All right, verse 11. Va'akim mibnekem liv lin vi'im u'mibachurekem lin Zerim, ha'afein zot b'nei Yisrael ne'um Adonai. And I raised up from kum, another hifil. Okay, I raised up from your sons. Okay, And then now the lamed can function, you can do it that way. I raised up from your sons, now the lamed is the accusative marker, the direct object. I raised up from your sons prophets, okay? And from Bahu Rekem, from your young men, Linzirim, Nazarites. All right. Okay. Ha'af, af means so or indeed. Is it not, so ha is the interrogative. Is indeed ain so? Is this not so? Is this not indeed so? Or something like that. O B'nei Yisrael, there's a vocative, O children of Israel, Ne'um Yahweh, says Yahweh. Okay? So again, and I raised up from your sons prophets and from your young men, Nazarites. Is this not so? Zot. Now notice Zot is feminine. Why? Anyone know? The Zot is feminine because whenever the demonstrative is referring to an action or a circumstance, something like that, it's normally feminine. So notice it's referring to this whole circumstance of him raising up prophets and Nazarites.
Okay. I ask a question about the two, the two words that are that have the prepositional main attached to them.
Yeah.
Both have a dogish and they're bait.
Yes. Tells you that the nun has assimilated from min.
Okay.
So min b'nei kem, who min bachurei kem. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? All right, verse 12. Vatashku et ha nazirim yain ve'al ha nevi'im zivitem lemor lo tinavu. Okay, and you gave to drink. This is the from a third hey root, shaka. Okay, shaka. And notice that it's a hifil form, and you gave the Nazarites wine. Remember, they had the Nazarite vow that you weren't allowed to drink wine. So you gave them wine to drink. And to the prophets, zivitem, you commanded. And notice that that is a PL from Tzava. All right, it's a very common word. And to the prophets you commanded, saying, lo tinav u, you shall not prophesy. Notice that that's from the root nava, where the noun navo comes from, or navi. And it's a nifal imperfect. And it's a denominative verb. And so it only occurs either in the nifal or the hitpael. That's why it's a nifal, but you still translate, you shall not prophesy. Okay, notice it's a very strong command. It's not al, it's lo. It means it's they want it not just for the moment, but kind of long-standing. You must not, you shall not prophesy. All right? Verse 13. Hine anoki me'ik tachtekem ka'asher ta'ik ha'agala ha'me'le'ah la'amir. Look, I am, okay, now here's a rare word. It's from the, you can see that it's a hollow root, uk. Everybody see that? you will see different translations for it. Notice what makes it a little more difficult is you have that tach, tekem underneath, under you. All right? So look, I am, some will suggest, because of the line that follows, I'll show you. Well, let's just leave it untranslated and I'll come back to it because I go back and forth myself. Ka'asher ta'ik, see the same root there? Mm-hmm. Now you have ha'agala as the subject. Agala is a cart. As the cart, which mele'a. Everybody see that that is a participle feminine, so it modifies ha'agala. And melea, mala, means to fill or to be full. So as blank, the cart, the one that is filled, okay, that is filled for itself or for it, in it, with amir, with, that would be a sheaves, like, you know, wheat sheaves or corn sheaves or whatever, so it's full. So see, again, what is he trying to convey with this root? Notice the second line suggests a cart that's really pressed down, all right, that's heavy, which doesn't make much sense in the first line because you have under you. See, so you press down under you. But it would, you know, behold, I am kind of causing it to totter under you, or causing it to move under you, sway, or maybe I'm causing it to deepen under you. In other words, like, just think of real muddy ground, okay? Like the cart filled with sheaves kind of sinks down or goes deep, something like that. All right, so again, you'll see translations that differ as far as what they suggest for that word. But again, notice that it's a hifil from uk. Okay, any questions about that? First one's a participle, second one's an imperfect form. Okay, v'avad manos mikol v'chazak lo yametz kocho v'gibor lo yemalet nafsho. And manos is flight. You can see the verb nous, to flee. Mm-hmm. Add a mem to it, becomes a noun. And flight will perish from the call, from the swift. Kalal is the noun, means, well, to curse, but also to be light. Okay, so here's the adjective used as substantive. So flight will perish or flee from the swift. V'chazak, and strength, and a strong man, chazak, lo ye'ametz. This is a PL form. Everybody see the PL imperfect? Yekatel ye'ametz. Amatz in the call means to be strong. So in the PL, it means to strengthen. So, and a strong man will not strengthen his power, koko. All right. So again, flight will perish from the swift, and a strong man shall not or will not strengthen his power or increase his power. Right? Vegibor, and a hero, a mighty man, lo yemalet, will not save nafsho, his life. Again, you have a PL form, yemalet. Yemalet, yeametz, yekatel. Okay? All right. Any questions about 13 or 14? It's good? Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 15. Vetofes ha keshet lo yamod, vekal berag lav lo yemalet, verokev ha sus lo yemalet nafsho. I'll finish it up here. Ve'amitz libo ba giburim a rom yanus bayom hahu ne'umaronai. Okay, vetofes. Everybody see it? That's just a simple call participle, kotel, tofes. And it's used as substantive. The one who seizes the bow. So the bowman. Hakeshet is like a bow and arrow set. The one who seizes the bow, lo ya'amod, will not stand. Again, a call imperfect from amad. The one who seizes the bow will not stand. Vekal, and the one who is swift, again, see the same word that you saw in the line above. And the swift one, the one who is quick, be raglav, in his feet, lo yemalek, will not save or deliver. And then you have to supply his life or his soul or something like that. Okay? And the one who rides, again, a call participle, and the one who rides the horse, lo yemalek, nafsho, his soul. So I suppose you want to put nafsho into all of those. And the one who is swift in his feet will not deliver. And the one who rides on the horse will not deliver his soul. So soul is kind of eluded or left out of the first line, but occurs in the second. Okay. Ve'amitz. Everybody see that that's based, that's the from the root amatz, which we saw up in verse 14. Ve'chazak lo ye'ametz. Okay. So here's a noun, the strong one. And the one who is strong, the strong in his heart, libo. See, so that's a construct with the genitive. So the one who is strong in his heart, we would probably say the most courageous, the courageous one. because it has Ba Gibberim among the heroes. So the courageous one among the heroes. So in other words, it's kind of picturing the bravest of the brave. See? All right? So the one strong in his heart among the heroes, Arom, naked, Yanus, there's the verb. Notice in 14 you had Manos, the noun. Naked will flee in that day, says Yahweh. So it's kind of nice how 16, see the inclusio? I mean, it's kind of clever. Because in 14 you have Manos, the noun, followed by Yema'etz, the verb. All right? And now in verse 16 you have the noun, Ametz, all right, followed by Yanus, the verb. So they kind of crisscross from 14 to 16. And it just makes a nice inclusio telling you, you know, you're at the end of that nice unit of thought and kind of a section here, which ends the chapter, actually. Okay? Questions about chapter 2? Good job, you guys. Finished two chapters. Now we're on verse 3, or chapter 3 of Amos. Shimu et hadavar hazeh asher diber Adonai aleichem b'nei Yisrael al kol ha-mishpacha asher he'aleti me'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor. Okay, Shimu, see the imperative? Hear hadavar hazeh, this word, which Yahweh diber has spoken. So I like that. Shimu et hadavar asher Yahweh diber concerning you, aleichem, O children of Israel. Okay, concerning kol ha-mishpacha, every family, asher he'aleti, whom I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying. Okay, now here's a great verse coming up. Rak etkem yadati mikol mishpechot ha'adama al kein efkod aleichem et kol avonotekem. Only you have I known. So notice what he does syntactically. He fronts the object to the verb. Only you have I known from all the families of the earth. Okay, so again, it's not for nothing that in verse 1 he followed up children of Israel concerning every mishpacha. Okay, which I brought from the land of Egypt. Only you have I known from all the mishpachot of the earth. Al Cain, therefore, now notice what happens because of this. Therefore, Ephkod, I will visit Alekem upon you et kol avonotekem. I will visit upon you all your iniquities. Okay, so there you have the glorious description of election, and then now, okay, what has happened to that relationship? So notice, he puts what's happening to Israel, what's going to happen, in relational terms. Think of it that way. Okay. Ha yelku shenaim yachdav bilti im no adu. Ha yishag aryeh ba ya'ar v'teref ein lo. Ha yiten kefir kolo mimeonato. Bilti im lakad. Okay, let's stop there. Notice the interrogative haze all the way from verse 3 through 5. And yelku is from halak, to walk. Okay, and then shenaim is the subject. Will two walk together? Bilti is a negative, if not or unless. Okay, and so bilti im kind of go together. Unless or if not. No adu. Okay, this means unless they have met. Everybody see the form of it? This is from the root ya'ad, first yud verb. Remember, it forms those nifals and hifils with that vav there. So this is a nifal from ya'ad. All right, and it's a third common plural perfect. And notice that in the call it means to appoint. Here in the nifal, unless they have met. So can two walk together unless they have met? Well, obviously the answer is no. These are all kind of rhetorical questions. Ha yishag aryeh. Can a lion roar, or will a lion roar, sha'ag means to roar, ba'ya'ar, in the forest? V'teref, and prey is not to him, or he doesn't have prey. So will a lion roar in the forest when there is no prey to him, or when he doesn't have prey? Okay. Will a kefir, will a young lion give his voice, mime'o notav, from his caves, unless lakad, he is captured. And we have to supply his captured game or captured something. Okay. Okay, we'll do one more verse here, verse 5, to finish this little kind of section up. Ha tipol, zippor al pach ha aretz, umokesh ein la ha ya'alepach min ha rama velakod lo yilkod. All right. Tipol is from Nafal. Everybody see it? Call imperfect. Zippor means bird. Will a bird fall upon a trap to the earth? Ha'aretz. All right. So notice the word orders for English sounds weird, but we've seen this before. See? So will a bird fall to the earth in a trap or on a trap? Okay. And a mokesh, a fowler, the guy who sets the trap, and a fowler there is not to it. And there is no, I'm sorry, snare. Mokesh is snare. And there is not a snare to it, namely to the trap. So it's again a rhetorical question. Will a bird fall to the earth upon a trap, but there is no snare to it? Well, no. If there's no bait, if the thing's not set, it's not going to work. Okay. Will a trap go up? Ya'aleh, from the ground, ha'adama, and lakod lo, and certainly not capture. So in other words, if it's sprung, it does capture. Notice that that lakod is an infinitive absolute, mm-hmm. and probably adds strength to that assertion. Will it not? Certainly, you know, will it not capture? Okay? Of course it will. That's what they're designed to do. All right? All right, so I'm going to stop there at verse 5, and we will continue with the way that Amos now begins to weave his prophecy. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for coming again.